Last week we had Jeremiah. Thank you, Jeremiah. And this week we have Katie.
You're tall. I'm even in.
You need to what? I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
For those who don't know, she does the Rooted Kids ministry on Wednesday. And then she also does the kids' ministry downstairs, and she has my daughter, so please pray for her a lot. And her favorite color is orange. She wanted me to tell everybody that her favorite color is orange. I don't know why it's orange and why she wanted me to tell you, but there you go. So Katie Barringer, everybody.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Journey Church this morning. Some of you, mainly my students' parents, are probably wondering who's down with your kids right now since I'm not there. And I'll just ease your mind. It's Miss Abby Wagner, so I'm super excited for her tonight, or this morning. I forgot what time of day it was, and I do that quite often. But today, I'm here to talk to you about something that is not only something that God has placed in my heart for many, many years, but something I also feel that goes along with our missions and value of our church here. Continuing our series in growing and going, Pastor Mike Wallen and his missions trip has asked me to come and speak to you about enhancing our relationship with God. Not just me, not just you, but everyone. But before I get into today's message, Pastor Mike would like me to remind you to read Luke chapter 15 for next week's message. Also, there is still time to sign up for the Alpha class, so you can do that back at the welcome table, or you can see Lori if you have any questions. First, I would like to stop for a moment, and I would like to pray for those returning on the missions trip today and for God's message. So if you could close your eyes with me. Dear Lord God, I thank you so much for giving us this beautiful, cold winter day. Lord God, I pray for those who are on the missions trip, Lord God, that you would be with them in the safety of their travels, Lord God. And I pray that they come and return to us with testimonies of what you have done with them down there and the people in Honduras, Lord God. And I pray for today's message, Lord God. May our eyes be open, may our ears be open, and may our hearts be open to what we need to receive from you today. In your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about enhancing our relationship with God. Preparing for today's message, I meditated on the theme of grow and go, which is our theme for 2019. To grow with God, to grow with others, and to go and meet people where they are. To be a true representation of God's heart and mission for every one of us. The very first thing that I would like to say, because it is so important, if there's any new people in here, to understand that there is a one true God who is creator of the universe, of you and me. And when there was separation from relationship with him, that he sent his son Jesus to come to earth as a man, to live a sinless life without disobedience to God or his law, to die for our sins, so we could have relationship and be with him forever. If you want to know more about how that came to be, you can definitely join me downstairs on a Sunday morning where we are teaching this beautiful gift that we have to receive to our Rooted Kids every Sunday and on Wednesday. I first heard of this gift and this life that God could give me when I was in high school. It has now been 10 years since I dared God to come into my life and show me who he is. When I asked God to come into my life, I was in a season of hurt, pain, feeling unworthy, and questioning why I was even here and what I could ever do to be loved. I felt very alone and honestly in a prison of my circumstances. But then I heard someone speak about this love, joy, peace, and purpose that only comes through the love of God. I believe that if you accept him into your life, that he will change everything. And when I did this, when I committed my life to God, if you know anything about me, I committed with passion, purpose, and precision. And when I did this, my very mind, body, and soul was captivated by God. And as I came to know him, he opened my eyes and opened my path to where I am today. It doesn't mean that it has all been perfect and I live a life without struggle, because trust me, I do. But now I have a partner and a champion fighting this fight with me and living my life through the safety that he has provided. When I go back to that moment, though, I had this question of what comes next? That question of what now? How am I going to do this? What does living my life for God mean, and what does that even look like? Well, I'm sure that Google has a very good answer for this. Thanks for laughing at my joke. That's the only one I got. I'm not very funny. But instead of going to Google, like any normal millennial would have, someone guided me to the very first tool that God gives us, and I started in the Bible. Not only does the Bible talk about the history of why we need Jesus, but Jesus himself teaches us how we can live for God. It also talks about how God gives us the perfect partner in living daily with him. And before Jesus left to go and sit with God, he told his disciples to do one very important thing. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the go that we are going to be talking about. But I want to pause here for just one moment, and I want to talk about these very important commandments that God has given us. You see, earlier in chapter 22 in Matthew, Jesus was being challenged. Someone asked him, "What are the very most important commandments that God has given us?" And in verse 37, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally as important, to love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." We sum this up today as loving God and loving other people. In chapter 28, Jesus instills this into his disciples. And if you want to know more about that, he told his disciples that there is no separation from God anymore, and that we can have true relationship with him if we accept Jesus as the sacrifice that God has given us for our sins. Read John chapter 14, which is right before chapter 15, that you should be reading for next week, to understand that just a little more and a little better. As we keep looking into the great story of how we can do this, we can go to the book of Acts, where Jesus tells his disciples to first go and wait. First go and wait for the gift that will guide them on this journey of helping people and themselves foster their own relationship with God, helping them grow, and guiding their lives through the presence and the power that he gives us, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught his disciples what living for God looks like. God gave us the gift of salvation through an eternal life through Jesus, but he also gives us the Holy Spirit as a partner to help us execute the plan of growing with him and going to be an advocate for him. Jesus says that before we go ourselves, we need to grow ourselves. When we enhance our relationship with God, it better prepares us for the challenges and struggles of life, sharing the news about who he is and bringing us and other into complete partnership to the one who created us. So let's discuss how we can do this. See, there are a few different types of people in this room. There are those who are just starting out on this journey, trying to discover who God is, and they just need to be pointed in the right direction for themselves. They need to try something new. There are those in this room who haven't even started that journey or are trying to figure out and question who God is. Well, I wonder if these things might be able to help you find that answer out for yourself. And then there are those in this room who just need a refresher on where they need to go next in this journey of growing their relationship with Him. This brings me to the topic that we have today, the meat and potatoes of this message, to enhance our relationship with God. This is a journey that is never ending. So how can we do that? My prayer has been that at least one or two of these things that we discuss will bring you and I just a little deeper, growing this wonderful relationship that we have to know God just a little more and just a little better. So first, enhance. It is a verb that means to intensify, increase, or further improve the quality, value, or extent of something. You could also say it means to increase, add to, intensify, heighten, magnify, amplify, inflate, strengthen, build up, supplement, boost, raise, lift, elevate, and exalt. See, everyone gets in this spot in their relationship with God where they become stagnant. We either reach a level where we lose the sense of wonder of God or get so caught up in the routine of going through the motions that we treat our relationship with God like a fast food restaurant. We go and we order what we think we need, get a sense of instant gratification that we did what we needed to do for God that week. We did our morning devotion, we went to church on Sunday, sang a few songs in church, and said hello to somebody new that we saw. And yes, these are things that we all should be doing. But when you do these things and you go through these motions and treat it like the fast food drive-thru, we miss the sense of passion, hunger, and purpose and growth that we receive through the presence of God. We do these things and we take Him out of the equation like He's not even right there with us. Instead, we put Him in the drive-through window. And when we get that craving, we go and get those French fries and expect Him to hand them to us. It is when we operate in doing things to enhance our relationship with God, to be in His presence, that the mystery of God and the passion behind the purpose makes the most sense. And then we don't miss out on making that home-cooked meal with Him, which is way more satisfying. I pray that as we discover some of these tools in our toolbox that God has given us to help us grow with Him in fulfilling and finding the purpose and the calling in our lives, like Jeremiah had talked about last week, that we would be able to take one or two, if not all, of these things and help us to enhance our relationship with Him, one that is emotional, mental, and physical, and they would help us grow. So our first tool, musical worship. It's a connection with God and His presence to give Him glory, to lift your hands in praise and thank Him for what He and His Son had done for us, to remember that we are not alone and feel that through His presence, to give us strength when we feel weak and to remember the promises given to us. Everyone close your eyes. I just want you to soak this in for a moment. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You upon Jesus. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. I could go on and on and on. The words and the power behind the presence of the songs that we sing on the screens, we can tend to just sing rather than really process what we are saying. What we are saying to God, what we are saying to ourselves, what we're saying to others. And God is worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, and he deserves our 100%. Even if the band isn't perfect, even if you don't like the song that was picked that day. Number two, prayer. Altar time and prayer team. Prayer is just conversation to God, talking to him about things that are going on in our lives, asking him for help, and telling him about who we are, and having others join us and what we are seeking with God. Where two or more are gathered, it is said that he is there. Are you being challenged in growing your prayer life and just praying for other people? Or just in general, do you need to talk to God more? I know I do. But I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about the altar in the church, and I could have a whole message on this. It is one of my very most safe places, but we get so caught up in the fact of what people are going to think that we forget and we put out the altar in the church for response about what God is doing in our lives. That we miss that spirit and longing and miss opportunities to get closer to God. And I wonder why we feel this way. Is it our Midwestern upbringing? I remember I used to be afraid of the altar because I didn't want to be judged. I didn't want people to think, the pastor just talked about salvation. She's not saved. When that wasn't the case. Or he would preach on, you know, relationships and reconciliation. We all have reconciliation. Yes, God, pray for me. And I would get so caught up in the fact of what people would think of me that I wouldn't go. But eventually, way longer than it should have been, I just went. And I kept going because I felt God there working in my life and changing my heart by reflecting on the message that the speaker was speaking. And it always felt good to know that if I needed somebody to go to help me pray with God, to help be an advocate for me, that they would be there to do so. Now I make it a part of growth for my students each and every week because I understand that change can happen there. And I try to give them the opportunity as many times as I can because it's guaranteed at least once a week they'll sit and meet with God. The altar is not something that is dead in the church. It is something that is very much alive. And if God is moving you to go there, I challenge you to go. Number three, quiet time. Not just reading your Bible, because we can get caught up in that habit. You need to crack it open, need to read, all right, John, verse 3:16, okay, here we go. But really processing what we're reading, really meditating on what the word says, and not just leaving it in our journal, but applying it in our lives and living it out daily. I have been challenged in enhancing my own relationship with God this way, that now I'm in a community of other people who are reading the same exact thing as I am, and it has challenged me to make sure I actually do it. And it has forced me to go deeper and deeper and deeper with God. Number four, church. Do you just need to go to church more and be around other believers? Most Christians in America go to church once a month, and that is very scary to me. I feel like I've lived in church my whole life. I feel like I'm here almost every day. And I couldn't imagine life where I don't be around other believers. God gives us a community on purpose, and we're supposed to operate together. But this is something I was struggling with, because I'm not talking about just going to church. I mean being at church. Being at church. I missed receiving a message. I missed corporate worship with other believers. That God challenged me to go and find a time where I could do this. And I have been going. I was really feeling like the girl in the basement. I was so focused on pouring into others that I myself wasn't being poured into. So is this something that you're being challenged with? Just one more time a month. One more opportunity to be around people that will help build you up, lift you up, and help you in your struggles. Number five, small groups. Men's, women's, adults, young adults, teens, married, singles. Being a part of a small group has changed my walk with God immensely. It is something that I highly commit to and craft into my schedule, because I need to go, and I need to go deeper in my church community. Just going to church wasn't enough for me. I wanted to build more connections. I needed to talk with people who are in or around the same life stage as me to help me stay on this narrow path that God talks about. And I'm so thankful for my small group family and their support. They help challenge my thinking and my walk with God. And I created relationships that they call me out when I'm straying off of that path and I don't recognize it. Number six, classes like Alpha or our next class that we offer. I'm so thankful that our church finds it important to take times and opportunities for our members and the people who come here to be able to go to these. I've personally experienced both, and the growth and the change in my relationship with God. Next is just a class about our church, who we are. Can you invest in us? Are we your family? What do we believe? Where are we going? Do you believe in this mission? That's what next is about. Or Alpha, if you're just starting out on that journey with God, or you need a direction of where to go next, just a little refresher on who he is, this class is unattainable with that amount of information. I myself have been a guest of Alpha, and I myself have led Alpha, and I've experienced growth in both. And I would highly recommend both of these classes if those are areas that you feel like you need to grow in. Number seven, mentorship. Are you being challenged to grow someone yourself on a one-on-one basis? Are you yourself being challenged to be a Paul or a Timothy? See, Paul was this guy, his name was Saul, and he didn't like Christians. He persecuted them until one day God fully inserted himself in his life. And Paul, being the good guy that he is, then enhanced his relationship with God, and now we have over three quarters of the whole New Testament on things that he has experienced with God, that God has taught him to pour into other people. And then there was this guy named Timothy. He was a young guy, a little on fire for God, just discovering who he is. And Paul pointed him in the right direction of where to go, helped him, challenged him on what the Bible has said, on what he was teaching, what God was leading him to do. Is this something that you're being challenged with? And number 8, serving. Greeting team, worship and sound ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, bus ministry, toddlers, nursery, kitchen ministry, or a missions trip. This is my shameless plug that I have, because I have found that serving God and going out of your comfort zone to create a disciple and share who he is are the times when I myself and I've seen others grow the most. For us Christians who know and understand who God is, we have a responsibility that God has given us to go and share that with the world. After the disciples received the power of the Holy Spirit, they got too afraid and they stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't go at first like Jesus had commanded them to. He said, go and wait, and then go and make disciples. Go and wait, and then go and make disciples. And when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they stayed because they were too afraid. It wasn't until one of them said, hey guys, look, Jesus told us to go, and then he went. And then another went. And then another went. And we just talked about this in kids' ministry. And that is how the church today was grown. I wonder what would have happened if they would have stayed. We have a unique opportunity in our church with the students and parents that we have in our community, that we decided many, many years ago that we were going to bring them to us. And I am so thankful that this church did that, because I was one of those kids. And I grew up here, and I found God here, and this church invested in me just as much as I invested in them. But in some ways, this is something that we have forgotten about. And I know that the Bible says that the harvest is many and the workers are few. But it is the chain of the body working together. Are you being challenged to really know what you say you know about God? Because that's what discipleship is. You're being challenged to really live that out. You're an example to somebody else. So my question is, do you really know who God is? Do you need to grow with him so you can go with him? I know that all 8 of these things take time. And like Pastor Mike has said, we all like a life of being way too busy. We fill it up with sports, television, kids, I understand. I don't really. I can't even say I do one day. Marriage. One day, maybe. But we get so busy and we get so caught up in the routine of life. But when something is important to you, you make time for it, and it's a priority. Is enhancing your relationship with God a priority? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I promise, if you take the challenge and you take one of these tools and enhance them in your relationship with God, it will grow. And at the end of it all, he will say that he knew you. Because as much as he will reveal himself to you, you will reveal yourself to him. All of these things can help us enhance our relationship with God. They can all help us to grow so we can go. But as you can see, part of growing is going. You don't have one without the other, because eventually you do both. You do both. And I don't know where you fall in your relationship with God, how far along you are. You know where you're at. I know where I'm at. I know where I need to grow. I know where I'm challenging my own self. But I would like to take a few moments here to do the very same thing that I do every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, as many times as I can. And I want to give you the opportunity to sit and ask God, or come and ask God, about which tool, or two tools, or all tools, do you need in your life? Do you need to go deeper into worship, praising God and entering more into his presence? Do you need to enhance your prayer life and just talk to God more? Do you need to spend more time in God's word and hearing his voice speak to you? Do you need to get more involved in community and come to church more? Do you need to get involved in a small group and go deeper into creating a better community and discover God's word more? Or are you being challenged to get involved in fostering more disciples through mentorship or serving? Or do you even need to take that very first step and say, yes, God, I will follow you. See, I dared God to come into my life when I was a freshman in high school. And I didn't have the easiest kind of upbringing. I was bullied a lot in school. I came from low-income housing. My mama did the best that she could, raising four kids by herself. I had good community around me, and that is the only reason why I'm here today. And when I was in that spot, when I was in that spot of complete desperation, and I was like, fine, this is what this person said, prove it to me. Prove it to me. But I needed to do my part. I needed to do my part. I needed to get to know him. I needed to reveal myself to him so he could reveal himself to me. And it was not easy. I had no idea where to go. I wish I had this way back then. I found this when I was in college. God placed this on my heart as a sophomore or a freshman. And that's all what I'm about. I just want you to grow. God is the single most important thing. Our relationship with him. And he will lead your path, and he will show you on where you need to go if you just ask him and talk to him. So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now to ask him where you need to go. Just so you know, the altars are open and change can happen here. Change can also happen where you're sitting, don't get me wrong, but sometimes stepping out is a good first step. Thank you. Dear Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you so much for what you've done. And I thank you for sending your son here to be an advocate for us, to open perfect relationship with you. And Lord God, I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to help and guide us on this journey. Be with us today. Be with us tomorrow, just as you are. Amen. Amen.